Hey, everybody, it's Dana Shea, and you're listening to Real Relationship Talk. Today, you guys, I'm excited because it is the most wonderful time of the year. That's right. If you are listening to this podcast at the time of publication, you know that we are just 5 days out from Christmas. And Christmas is such a special time for all of us, right? Not just little kids, but I don't know about you. I still get excited about Christmas every single year. We finally got our tree up the other day, and we've got our stockings, and we've got the lights up, and it's just such a beautiful time. And I am not a very gifts person. That's not one of my love languages, but I absolutely love family time, togetherness. So you've probably figured out by now, quality time is one of my top love languages. It's actually my number one love language. And maybe for you struggle with giving your spouse a gift. Maybe you still have not gone out and bought the socks or the tie or the perfume or the jewelry or the whatever because you really don't know how to give gifts. Or maybe this has just been a really difficult season for you financially and you can't afford really to give nice gifts. Well, today, you all, I want to talk about five free gifts that your spouse will love this Christmas. So before we even get into this, I just want to say that I understand that, again, this has been an incredibly difficult year for many people. The economy is changing, right? And we're starting to see prices going up. So do not feel any pressure to go out and get into debt for Christmas. If you listened to the episode that I did with Austin Black, we were talking about finding financial freedom in your marriage. You need to listen to that episode because I really encourage couples there to really focus on your financial freedom. And this is the season where kind of all bets are off and people go into debt and you buy stuff that you can't afford and you start becoming really focused on the gifts, the gifts, the gifts. And there's so much more to life. There's so much more in marriage than giving gifts. But I do believe that gifts are a much needed part of a relationship. I meet couples from time to time and they'll say things like, "Oh, we don't celebrate anniversaries," or, "We don't really do the whole gifts thing." And there's always a little part of me that kind of cringes inside because I think I get it. I understand that not everybody gets all excited over unwrapping gifts and receiving things, but I do believe that giving is a part of any relationship. Whether you're giving gifts that cost lots of money, whether you're giving gifts that you create by hand, or whether you're going to give some of these free gifts that I'm going to talk to you about today. So, you guys ready to jump into this? All right, let's do it.
You are listening to Real Relationship Talk, a podcast helping married and pre-married couples build lasting love from above. Got problems? Let's solve them. Because real trials need real truth. Now it's time to get in the game with your relationship coach and host, Dana Shea.
So let me just tell you, okay, Sean and I are so different, as many of you are. Many of you can attest to that in your own marriages and your own relationships. Sean is a gifts person, okay? He loves to give gifts. Like, this is his favorite time of the year. This man goes out, and our kid, let me tell you something about our kids. Our kids are so blessed. Like, I tell them that. I'm like, "You guys have no idea how blessed you are." The fact that Sean is thinking about Christmas probably like in September, the fact that the kids write a Christmas list and he literally gets them everything on that list and more, our kids are blessed. So he loves giving gifts. And I think he really likes getting gifts, even though he's always like, no, that's not my top love language. But I really think that it is because of his passion in giving gifts. Now, me, I like nice things, but I'm not very materialistic and I'm always trying to declutter. Like, that is always on my New Year's resolution list. Declutter, declutter. I'm always trying to get rid of stuff. I throw stuff away all the time. So for me, I'm not really one of those people that's like, "Oh, give me more. I need this, I need that." So some of these are going to maybe come natural for some of you. And then others of you who are listening today, you might need a little bit more encouragement, if you will, to really pursue some of these free gifts that I'm going to talk to you about. So let's dive in. Number one, the number one free gift that your spouse will love this Christmas is passion. Passion, you guys. Now, I know that some of y'all are like, "Oh, I knew she was going to talk about it. I knew we were going to talk about sex." Listen, of course, we're going to talk about sex and marriage, but this is not that, okay? I'm not talking about passionate sex, even though we have several episodes on this show that talk about passionate sex. But where I am talking about passion, I want to read to you the Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition of passion, okay? Passion is an intense, driving feeling or conviction. It's an ardent affection. It's a strong liking or a desire, or I love this word, devotion to some activity, object, or concept. An object of desire or deep interest. So when I'm talking to you guys about passion, I want you to think about your marriage, and I want you to think about, where have you lost your passion? Where have you slipped into just the mundane, the ordinary, the get the kids up for school? What are we going to have for dinner? What did you do at work today? Like, we all kind of slip into that mode from time to time. And it's normal, right? But if you live in kind of that just like auxiliary type of marriage where you're just talking about logistics and you're just talking about kids and you're just kind of surviving from one day to the next, your marriage is going to get boring. You are going to get bored. And that's when people start kind of looking over the fence at other options. It's not that there's anything wrong with your spouse or even your marriage, but it's you have not built up your passion. So what in your marriage could use a fresh dose of passion? What can you give your spouse that is more passionate? For example, if your spouse maybe just started a new job, or maybe they just started some sort of new journey in their life, maybe they're starting to lose weight, or they're building muscle mass, or they've taken on a new hobby, and they're super excited about it, they're very passionate about it. And when they talk to you about it, you're just kind of like, oh, that's good, that's cool. Maybe this Christmas season, you can give them the gift of matched passion, where you start researching just as much as they're researching, where you start to get excited about whatever that thing is that they're excited about. Or maybe it's just your marriage in general. If you've got a ho-hum, you know, just ordinary kind of boring type of marriage, this would be the season for you to say, you know what, babe, let's do something different. Let's do something that we've never done before. Let's try something that we've never done before. Let's start a new hobby together that we've never done before. Let's go start taking dance lessons, or let's start hiking, or whatever it is that would bring that passion back in your marriage. Find a place where you can insert more passion. It's totally free. All it takes is just effort. So that's the number one free gift that you can give your spouse this season, is passion. All right, number two, touch. Touch, touch, touch. Again, this is not just sexual touch, you guys. When I say touch, you know, there is a statistic that says that if a baby is not touched within the first 7 days of birth, the baby can actually die. Y'all, touch is so integral to relationships. It literally is necessary. If you are in a marriage and you and your spouse only touch when you're having sex, that's a problem. Sean and I are both kind of touchy-feely people, which is great because, you know, sometimes in marriage, there's one spouse who's more affectionate than the other, and that could be problematic, right? There could be one spouse who's like, I really don't want to be touched, and then the other spouse is feeling all rejected in some kind of way because that spouse doesn't want to be touched. Regardless, though, of whether you want to be touched a lot or whether you love to be touched all the time, touch is necessary in marriage. And this kind of touch can be, I mean, the sky's the limit. So if you're laying in bed, rubbing your spouse's leg with your foot, that's touch. Giving them a gentle massage on the shoulders as you're sitting down to eat dinner, that's touch. Giving each other a hug. Like, how many of us hug our spouses? I know that many spouses still kiss, and of course, many spouses still have sex, but like, when is the last time that you actually hugged your spouse? I'm talking like a real hug. I'm not talking about like a church hug where you pat on the back for 2 seconds or you do a side hug. Not that. I'm talking about where you and your spouse just stand there and embrace, not because there's been a tragedy, not because someone's sad, but just because you want to be near them. There is something that is so special and magical, if I can use that word, about touch and about hugs. So think of ways that you can touch your spouse, running your finger down, up and down their arm, massaging their scalp, running your finger down the side of their face and giving them a wink. All these kind of little ways that you can touch your spouse, man, they mean a lot. And listen, for those of you who, again, I hear you, you're like, my spouse is not like to be touched. Try it. Try it. Sometimes people don't like to be touched, especially women. Can I be real here? Because we know what's on the other side of your touch, husbands that are listening. We know that like that non-sexual massage is really going to turn sexual in 5 minutes. So a lot of women will be like, I'm good. I don't want to massage. I'm good. Because they don't want to always feel like they have to perform, or they don't always want to feel like they're getting something to get something, right? Or they're receiving something, but they're expected to then give something. So sometimes, husbands, hear me, you need to touch and then add a period to the end of that. It doesn't need to end in sex. It doesn't need to end in, you know, oh, it doesn't need to go there. So just non-sexual touch throughout the day, that is such a great gift that you can give your spouse this season. All right, number three, decisions and preferences. Oh my goodness. You guys, again, sometimes we get into these ruts in our marriages. And sometimes if you have a more laid back spouse or a more passive spouse, that spouse is really never able to make decisions. Or if they do make decisions, they are cross-examined for 45 minutes about why they made that decision. I may or may not be guilty of this, okay? I am a very direct, strong-willed, independent person, okay? I don't have problems deciding what I want. I know what I want in life, and I go after what I want in life. Sean, on the other hand, likes the fact that I am direct and that I make decisions, and so he lets me make the decisions. But sometimes, y'all, I don't want to make the decisions. Sometimes I want Sean to decide. I want him to have a preference. And I'll even tell him, like, can you, like, actually, like, decide this, please? I don't want to always have to do the decisions in this relationship. And that is very common, I think, just for strong-willed women, kind of strong, independent women, where a lot of times from the outside, people will think, oh, that woman just wants to, quote, wear the pants, or she just wants to run the relationship. But oftentimes, that's not the case. Sometimes it's because the other spouse won't make a decision. Maybe they love the decisions that you make, or maybe they're just okay with not being responsible for whatever the outcome is. But I want to encourage you, especially women like me, strong-willed women, give your spouse this year the gift of decision-making and the gift of preference. So instead of you always saying, okay, this is what we're going to eat dinner tonight. This is what we're going to do. This is how this is going to go. This is what Christmas dinner is going to look like. This, like, instead of you kind of planning everything, put that in your spouse's lap and say, you know what? I know that usually I make all the decisions where it comes to this particular thing, but this year I'm giving that gift to you. I want you to make these decisions. I want to hear your preference. And it's not like, don't come like sarcastically. Like, don't come like, look, I've been making all these decisions and I'm tired of it. So here, that's not a gift, right? It's the way that you phrase it. So, hun, babe, whatever you want to call your spouse, right? I know that usually I'm the one who decides these things, but I really do care about your preferences. I really want to hear from you. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Do you want to give gifts this year? Do you not? Do you want to spend time with your in-law, with your family or with our in-laws or not? Like, give them the gift of preference. Now, they might fall over and have a stroke because of their shock, but I'm telling you, it's a gift that you can give to them when you say, I care about what you care about and your voice matters. So here's the gift of decisions this Christmas season. All right, number four, and I love this one so much, the gift of affirmation. Okay, so quality time is my number one love language. Words of affirmation would be number two. I love to affirm other people and I love to be affirmed. I'm very complimentary. So if I see somebody with cute shoes on, I'm going to tell you, your shoes are cute. If I see somebody and I like their hair or I like their makeup or I like the car they're driving or whatever it is, I'm very complimentary because I love how it feels to get compliments. Most people love to get compliments, even like those, quote, humble people who are like, no, it's never about me. It's always about you. It's always about the other person. Even those folks love to get compliments. Okay. So how can you affirm your spouse this Christmas season? This is more important, though, than just the Christmas season. I think that affirmation should be a part of your daily rhythm in your relationship, regardless of what relationship you're in. Your relationship with your children, you should be affirming your kids. Your relationship with your boss or with your employees, you should be affirming them. Your relationship with your friends, your relationship with your parents, of course, your relationship with your spouse, or if you're not married, your partner. You need to be affirming all the time. Why? Because most of us are so hard on ourselves. Most of us are always thinking about our negatives. We're always thinking about the things that we could do better, areas of improvement. So when you have someone like your spouse or like your loving partner who affirms you, who tells you how great you are, or who tells you all the good things that they love about you, that is so life-giving. It's so life-giving. So like I said, I'm not one who like loves a whole bunch of gifts, right? So there was this one Christmas, or no, it was my birthday. It was a birthday that Sean was like, okay, what do you want this birthday? And I just didn't want anything, like nothing materialistic. So I said to him, I said, you know what? Instead of buying me something, I want you to just like write a list of all the things that you love about me. I know I don't struggle with humility. So I said, I want you to write all the things that you love about me and why your life is so wonderfully blessed since I'm in it. Okay. And so he was like, okay. And so y'all, I was so giddy. I was like a kid waiting for Christmas because I knew this list was coming and I wanted to hear from Sean about all the things that he loved about me. So not only did he write a list, he actually did something even better. He made a video. I was like, oh my God, a video, right? He made this video and he sends me this video and he like dressed up. Y'all, it was the cutest thing. And he like dressed up in the video and he starts talking about all the things that he loves about me. Best gift I have ever received in my life, hands down. Hands down. Best gift. Why? It fed my soul. It nourished me like nothing else. And so if you have a spouse like me who loves words of affirmation, I'm telling you, one of the best things that you can give to your spouse this Christmas season is words of affirmation. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them what they mean to you. Tell them what their good qualities are. Tell them what you admire about them. Tell them how you see them improving in areas where they know that they need to improve in. And do it in a creative way. Maybe you can do a video, or maybe you can write a poem, or maybe you can buy some pretty stationery from Michael's or wherever your craft store is in your local area and handwrite all of these affirmations. Be creative, but the way that you fill your spouse's tank for those who are words of affirmation people is to do this consistently. So like I said, it isn't just about doing it for Christmas, even though obviously that's what this episode is about, but fill their cup with words of affirmation. I'm telling you, they will be a new person. You will be like, dang, what happened to you? And they'll be like, you are affirming me. So maybe you are like, oh, I don't know, my spouse doesn't really care about words of affirmation. Again, my friend, yes, they do. It might not be their top love language. It might not be number one, number two. However, if you start pouring on the praise, not only is it going to change your spouse, but it will change your marriage. Y'all, so often we think about the negative things that are going on in our relationships. We can see all the areas that need to be improved. We look back in the past about all that has been done, but far too little do we actually look at what our spouses are doing that's great. And then even less than that, do we actually even open our mouths and talk about it? So this Christmas season, talk about it. Share with your spouse all the things that you love about them. Give them the gift of affirmation this Christmas season. And then finally, the fifth free gift that your spouse will love this Christmas season is the gift of peace. Peace. Jesus says this in John 14:27. He says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is not a gift that the world gives. So do not be troubled or be afraid. Y'all, when I think about this peace that Christ gives to us, you know, this Christmas season, it's about love, joy, peace, hope, right? But that peace is like this inner knowing that all is well. Maybe your life isn't going to be fixed in a day. Maybe the problems that you face on December 24th are still going to be there on December 25th and the 26th. But there is a peace that Christ gives to us that the world can't take away. And as a spouse, there's also a peace that you can give to your spouse that no one can take away. Some of y'all are living in some dysfunctional, chaotic, tension-filled homes. And I get it. Life is difficult and marriage can be challenging. But this Christmas season, can you give your spouse just a day of peace? Can we set aside the arguments, the tension, the disagreements, the disappointment? Can we set that stuff aside so that for one day, your home is a place of peace? Can you put on some Christmas music? I highly recommend the Mariah Carey Christmas album. But can you put on some Christmas music, or can you just put on some love music, maybe some romantic music? Can you make sure that your home is clean? Light some candles. Make it an inviting place that your spouse actually wants to be in. And then can you have peaceful conversations? Can you have conversations that don't end in arguments and that are not stressful? Don't talk about all the bills that need to be paid on Christmas Day. Save that for another day. Don't talk about all the problems that you're having with your kids or everything that's going bad on your job. This Christmas season, can you give your spouse the gift of peace? And it starts with you. If you have been a part of the dysfunction and the tension in your home, this is your opportunity to course correct. This is your opportunity to ask for forgiveness if needed. This is your opportunity to set some things right that have been wrong. This is your opportunity to change the atmosphere in your home. I think I've shared this with you before, but you can either be a thermometer or you could be a thermostat. A thermometer simply measures temperature. It tells you this is 98 degrees. This is 400 degrees. That's what a thermometer does. But a thermostat not only measures the temperature, but then it sets the temperature. So if you're living in a house where there's always tension and there's unrest and nobody gets along and nobody wants to be there, my friend, you can be a thermostat. You can set a tone, a new tone of peace in your home. But it starts with you. It doesn't start with pointing out all the things that your spouse is doing wrong and looking at your kid. It doesn't start there. It starts with you saying, hey, I have the ability and the authority to set the atmosphere in my home. And so this Christmas season, I am going to be someone of peace, and I am going to give my spouse the gift of peace. So there you have it, my friends, the 5 free gifts that your spouse will love this Christmas season. I'll recap them one more time. Passion, touch, decisions or preference, affirmation, and peace. Well, I hope that you and your families have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas season. I hope that you get to enjoy all the things that make life really special and unique, which is togetherness. It's not about the gifts that are under the tree, but it's about the gifts that come from your heart that you're giving to those that you love. It's about giving your spouse and your family and your friends things that can't be quantified with a price tag. It's about giving of yourself. It's about taking risks. It's about forgiving. It's about enjoying life. It's about living on purpose. It's about creating a marriage of passion and vision. So thanks so much for listening today, you guys. I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas. And you can find the show notes to this episode at realrelationshiptalk.com/episode123. All right, my friends. Well, as I always say, a good relationship is not one that works. A good relationship is one where you put in the work. Let's get to work. I'll see you on the next episode. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Real Relationship Talk with Dana Shea. Find the show notes, helpful articles, and more relationship tips at realrelationshiptalk.com. Enjoying the show? Be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And remember to subscribe. We'll see you on the next episode.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.